So if you have your Bible open at Psalm number 1, this is where we're going to be focusing this evening. And as we turn to Psalm number 1, we do so, and we're coming tonight to address the subject of happiness. And there isn't a person in church this evening, or listening to this, or maybe on CD, that doesn't want to be happy. You are looking to be happy. And I am looking to be happy. It's a basic desire of every single one of us as human beings. And Psalm number 1 begins, the very first word in the whole book of Psalms, 150 Psalms. The book begins with this word, blessed, or happy is a modern translation of that word. Blessed is the man who does, and then there's a formula given. The Bible is describing for us here how happiness is to be found. It's God's definition of happiness. It's a word that Jim Packer translates as happiness under God's blessing. It's not a cheesy type of happiness, not a shallow kind of, you know, grinny type of, I'm so happy type of happiness, but it's a deep down joy happiness that is being described here. Outward circumstances may vary, they may come, they may go, but deep down, there is a happiness, there is a joy that can only come from God. And so as the Psalms open, and as this, it's almost like a preface to the book of Psalms, Psalm number 1. We have here a description of where happiness is to be found, and it sets out themes that are going to keep recurring through the book of Psalms, and it also sets out themes that I trust will keep recurring through my ministry here in Drumrea. So let's think tonight about where happiness is to be found. And it's set out for us in different ways, and we can look at this psalm in different ways. But I want to talk about, first of all, happiness is to be found in what you don't do, as well as in what you do do. Lots of people think happiness is in doing certain things, but the psalmist, the Word of God, shows us, well, happiness begins by what you don't do, as well as by what you do do. I'll give you an example of just from practical life. A few years ago, I had a computer, and you know the way ink is very expensive for your printer, and I thought I would save money on ink, and I bought cheap ink, and I put it into the printer. Not very long after that, it clogged. And I sent it away to the manufacturer, and it came back, and they had written a letter with it to say, you've been putting cheap ink into your printer, only put in manufacturer-recommended ink. And since then, it had no problem after that, once you put in the proper ink. And that's a sense, a parable for life. Life is about, happiness comes through what you put into your life as well as what you don't put into your life. And this psalm begins by showing us what we are not to put into our lives if we are to find happiness. And the first thing he sets out for us is that we ought to avoid certain types of company if we are going to find happiness in life. Verse 1, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of scoffers. Blessed is the man who does not walk, does not stand, does not sit with these particular people. There has to be a saying no before there can be a saying yes. So who do we say no to? Well, there's three types of categories here of people. There's the wicked, there's the sinners, there's the scoffers. We're not to walk with them, we're not to hang around with them, we're not to sit down with them if we are to find happiness. And let's think about each of these groups in turn. The first group is the wicked. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel or in the advice of the wicked. The wicked are people with loose morals, we might say. The verse in Judges chapter 21 says, in those days Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit. People just made up their own morals. They just did as they saw fit. What was right in their own eyes was right, according to them. And we live in such a similar day as well, where people are making up what's right and making up what's wrong, And sin is so ingrained into their lives, they probably don't even know they're sinning, and they tell us this is right, or they tell us this is wrong. And we have to be very careful at the advice we're listening to, at the words that we are given from other people, the counsel that they are giving to us. Is this from God or is it not from God? Blessed is the man who does not walk with the advice of the wicked. So you've got to be asking yourself, well, who am I listening to? Who is speaking to me? What advice am I following? And the psalm here is clearly warning us that we've got to be careful, we've got to be discerning with what we're listening to. We've also got to be discerning about who we're hanging around with. Blessed is the man who does not stand in the way of sinners. The word sinners means people who fall short, people who fail. We all fail, of course, in many ways, but I think this more means the people who are happy to fail. The people who just live their lives in a careless way. They don't aim for anything, really. They just have a lifestyle of acceptance of sin and of the way things are, and they don't really bother too much. And if things are sinful, well, it doesn't really matter to them. Whatever will be, they say, and they're easygoing, and life just seems to be kind of easy for them. But the psalmist says you better not stand or hang around in the way of sinners, because it's catching. And the third group he mentions are the scoffers, people who rubbish spiritual concern, who scoff at what the Bible says, who scoff at the things of God, who scoff at church. Lighten up is their mantra. Blessed is the man who does not sit down in the seat of mockers. He doesn't sit down with these people and joke with them and jest with them, get caught up in their jokes and so on. Now, the psalmist is not saying to us here this evening that we have to become monks or nuns and live in convents and close ourselves off, or monasteries, and close ourselves off from the world. But what he is saying to us this evening is that you and I, if we're going to be aiming for happiness and life God's way, we've got to be careful with the company that we are keeping. There's no point walking around with them or hanging out with them or sitting down with them, because the Bible says bad company ruins good character. And this is a warning that your company can poison you. Your TV programs can poison you. Your magazines, your books, your websites can poison you. They can prevent your heart from finding the happiness that you are looking for. And the psalmist here begins by saying, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, does not stand in the way of sinners, does not sit in the seat of mockers. In terms of living the Christian life and living life God's way, there are things you have to say no to. That's repentance. You have to say no to things. You have to say no to people. You have to say no to advice. That's just the way it is. This is where happiness is to be found. But secondly, happiness isn't just about avoiding certain types of company. That's the negative, if you like. The positive is saying yes to something. And verse 2 tells us what we are to say yes to. His delight, the man or woman of God's delight, is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Now, I don't really like the word law. Law sounds like do this, do that. But the law in the Bible terms is much bigger than that. The first 5 books of the Bible are the law of Moses. But if you know Genesis, for example, lots of it is like narrative, it's story of Joseph, the story of Abraham, the story of the patriarchs, of Noah, and so on. Law doesn't necessarily just mean do this and do that. It's a broad term covering the teaching of God's word. And here, as the psalmist is encouraging the life of faith, he says, the man or woman of God, their delight is in the law of the Lord. And on the Lord's law, they meditate day and night. Notice their delight is in the law of the Lord. Reading the scriptures is something they enjoy. Reading the scriptures is something that gives them pleasure. Reading the scriptures is something they rejoice in. The man or woman of God is someone who just loves the law of the Lord. And what you do with the Bible will depend, will in many ways determine what sort of a Christian life you have. If you're a Christian this evening, what you do with the Bible will determine whether your Christianity is deep or whether it's shallow and really going nowhere. The famous evangelist said, "This book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book." And the psalmist here is saying something very similar, isn't he? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Now, we don't really practice very much meditation in our day. The words the Hebrew scholars tell us is very much like the word that's used of a cow chewing its cud. You know what that's like? Where the cow sits down in the field and just... You know that? And the cow is chewing its cud. And there is a sense when we come to God's Word, it's just not reading it through and let's get a chapter read or let's get a section read. But there's a sense of let's sit down and chew the cud here with this passage of Scripture. Let's pay attention to it. Let's understand it. Let's give my mind to it. Let me ask questions of this passage and see what God is saying to me in this day and age. Somebody else has said, it's a bit like, you know, if you ask directions, you're out for a drive and you're not sure where you're going, and you stop and you say to somebody, "Can you tell me directions to wherever you're going to?" And they say, "Yes. If you go down this road about a mile, you turn left, take the second right, and that's you where you're going." And you say to them, "Okay, I go down the road about a mile, I turn left, and then I turn second right," and they say, "Exactly." You've said after them what they have just said to you. You've repeated it. That's what it means here by meditating, repeating the Word of God over and over again, reading over it over and over again, and saying to the Lord, "Lord, what are you saying to me here in this passage of Scripture?" Proverbs 4, the writer says, "Listen, my son, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning. Do not forsake my teaching." The Bible is sound learning. Sound learning. Proverbs 25 says, "Like cold water to a weary soul, so is good news from a distant land." This book is good news from a distant land. It's like water in a weary world, in a thirsty world. And I encourage you to come back to the evening service, to come back for God's Word, not just in the morning, but also in the evening, that we give ourselves to what God is saying in these days when we are being bombarded with advice and with punditry and all sorts of experts telling us what to do and how to live. But here is a Word that does not change, that is faithful, that is true, and that will not lead you astray. It's amazing, you know, how quickly things can change in society. The fashion can be for this, and 10 years later, it's totally turned around, and society's going in a different direction. How do you know it's right? Only if you have a rock to build upon, and this book is the rock of God's Word. And we are encouraged here to meditate upon it, that we might give ourselves to it, and not be swept along just with the wicked, with the sinners, with the mockers, with the advice of the people of this world, but that we should concentrate on what God is saying. And notice verse 3, how he then says what sort of a person you will be. He says that he or she is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Now remember, these words were being written in the Middle East in a hot Mediterranean climate. Trees planted without a permanent water supply just didn't make it. They shriveled up and they died. But a tree planted by streams of water had much more of a chance. The tree planted by streams of water, the roots went down into the damp soil, maybe even into the riverbed itself, and it had a permanent source of life. So long as the river didn't dry up, a tree like this was landed. It had the most privileged location, and hence it yielded its fruit in season. Its leaf did not wither. Whatever it does prospers. It produces fruit. And this is being described here, the man or woman of God who plants, is planted in God's word. Who is planted in this word that is true, in this word that is life-giving, in this word that is faithful, in this word that is able to make you born again of God's Spirit. It's like a tree being planted, being transplanted beside the river of God. Do you ever notice how the Bible talks about the river of God? And Psalm 46, for example, says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. We have the River Ban just about a mile from here. And it's a significant feature of this local area, that particular Ban Valley and the river that flows through it. And most of the major cities of the world are built on rivers, London on the Thames, Paris on the Seine, Rome on the Tiber, Belfast on the Lagan, Dublin on the Liffey. Nearly every world city is built upon a river. But what about the city of God? There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, says the psalmist. Jesus, remember, when he came, said about the Christian person, streams of living water will flow from within him. The river of God, as it were, is going to flow from within the Christian who comes to know God. They have been transplanted beside the river of God, and as they draw the river of God into their lives, they begin to flow, as it were, with rivers of living water unto others. They become alive. They become filled with the Spirit. You get the same thing in Ezekiel chapter 47, where a river begins to flow from the temple of God out of the city of Jerusalem. And as the prophet looks at the river, he sees initially it's ankle deep. Then he goes a little bit further and it's knee deep. Then he goes a little bit further and it's waist deep. Then it's chest deep. Then it's neck deep. And then it becomes a river that you can only swim in. And it flows into what we know as the Dead Sea. And as it goes into the Dead Sea in Ezekiel chapter 47, the whole riverbank comes to life. And trees begin to grow and vegetation appears as the water of God, the life of God, produces life. And the psalmist here is saying that the person who gives themselves to God's word, who comes to know Jesus Christ, the living word for themselves, they're like a tree planted by that stream of water. They find life in a place of death. And they yield fruit in season. The fruit of Christ-likeness. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. The message of the Bible, you see, just doesn't change destinies, it changes characters. It makes people more like Jesus Christ, the only true human who ever lived. None of us match up to him. And I don't know about you, but I want to be more like Jesus Christ as a Christian. I want to be more like Christ in how I react. I want to be more like Christ in my priorities. I want to be more like Christ in my words. I want to be more like Christ in my ambitions. I want to be more like Christ in how I treat people. I want to be more like Christ in my thinking and my words and my deeds. And this is where I'm going to be happiest, in Christ and closest to him. Well, says the psalmist, you have to be like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season and whose leaf does not wither, whatever he does prospers. If you keep yourself close to the word of God, you will be fruitful for God. So happiness comes through avoiding certain types of company. And it comes through meditating on God's word. But thirdly, happiness is about a life of faith as opposed to a life of unfaith or unbelief. Verses 4 and 5. Not so, he says, the wicked. Notice again, he's returning to the not. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. Harvest season will soon be upon us, and chaff will be something that is produced in the fields where there's grain. The chaff is just blown away. The wicked are like the chaff that the wind blows away. The people who have no roots, they're not like the tree planted by streams of water. They're people who are rootless, and they're just blown away. When the winter storm comes, they just fall like the tree that has no roots. And the psalmist here is encouraging you and I to look at this and say, well, I don't want to be blown away. I don't want to be swept away when the flood comes and my life is simply as if it was never there. I don't want to be someone who is here today and gone tomorrow and my life was wasted. And that's possible. That's a danger for any of us. And that's why the psalmist, as he is guided by God, he reminds himself that the wicked, and this doesn't necessarily mean kind of rapists and murderers and terrorists and all of that sort of thing. It's just simply people who have not come to know God, who are outside the kingdom, the people who have not believed in Jesus Christ for themselves. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. Judgment day is coming. And ultimately, you and I will be judged on what we did with Jesus Christ when you heard the gospel. Did you believe it? Did you put your faith into Jesus Christ? Did you surrender your life to Him? Because if not, you'll be swept away. But if you did, you'll stand. You'll be like that tree planted by streams of water. You'll not be blown away. And so I say this evening, if you're not saved, this is something you need to consider very carefully, that you're in danger of being blown away. The contrast could be hardly more striking, could it, between verse 3 and verse 4. Verse 3, the tree is planted by streams of water. Verse 4, the chaff is like something the wind just blows away. Like the autumn leaves just gone in a second. And the psalmist here, as he is teaching this passage and he is setting out his stall, as it were, going into this book of Psalms, he is saying that there is a way to live that is God's way. There is a way to live that is man's way. You'd better choose God's way, the city of God, not the city of man. And the warning is that the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. And there is a judgment that is coming. And you and I have to remember that, and we have to live in the light of that. And as we finish this evening, verse 6 says, "For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." And that's a lovely verse of scripture, isn't it? The Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Notice the last word of the psalm, perish. Notice the first word of the psalm, blessed. Those are very interesting contrasts, aren't they? The psalm is it's like two bookends, blessed and perish. And in between, there's the challenge, what about you? Is it to be blessedness or is it to be perishing? If it's the road to blessedness, the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. If you're a Christian tonight, you can say, the Lord is watching over my life. Watching over me. He sees me. He cares for me. And that's a lovely thought, isn't it? If you have children maybe in the little room this evening, it's good to know there's someone watching over them. You would hate it if those children were in there and there was no adult watching over them. You wouldn't have left your child in if there wasn't an adult to watch over them. A Christian is someone, the Lord is watching over them. That's a lovely thought, lovely comforting thought, lovely encouraging thought. And as we consider going into the future together here in Drumrea, that sense of, well, the Lord is watching over us. Been really encouraging for me just to consider that the Lord has been watching over as we have made the wrench from Connor here to Drumrea. But the Lord has been watching over, and the Lord has been watching over you as a congregation. But notice how he says, the way of the wicked will perish. the way of the wicked will perish. That closing challenge, isn't it? That we should say to ourselves, well, you know, the world is a scary place. And after death is an even scarier place. But here is God speaking to me. Here is God challenging me. And Jesus said, didn't he? I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved. He shall go in and out and find pasture. I am the door. Here is the way to life. Here is the road to heaven. Here is the pathway of the righteous. And this psalm is simply setting out for us this evening that the challenge is to believe, to live this life of faith, to give yourself to God's word, and to trust that God is looking over you and watching over your life, and to enjoy that, and to experience that, and to want to go deeper with him. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 2 that God saw the people of Israel, and God knew their condition. He knows your condition tonight. He knows my condition this evening. He knows your heart tonight. He knows my heart tonight. God saw the people of Israel, and he knew their condition, and God came to them in their need. If you're not a Christian tonight, maybe God needs to come to you tonight. And you need to say to God, God, come into my life tonight. Save me tonight, Lord. And if you are a Christian tonight, you need more of God. I need more of God in my life. Then we too need to pray, Lord, will you come into my life? May I have more fruitfulness, Lord. May I have more Christ-likeness, Lord. And I thank you and I praise you, Lord, that you watch over the way of the righteous. So let's close in prayer. Let us pray.